Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Ask the Experts weekend here on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. And this show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow.
Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Well, you did it. You yawned, you stretched, you got out of bed, and then you probably made one of the best decisions you're going to make all day, and that is listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And that's a good decision. Why? Well, because we give you career advice and tips to help you to be more effective and productive in your careers. I'm not afraid to tell you where I've taken a left in my career, where I should have taken a right. I tell you all about my mistakes, not to beat myself up, but I do this. And then I tell you what I should have done and what you can do to stay on the right path. And every week I have one of Jacksonville's, some of Jacksonville's most influential people on the show. And today is no different. Some of the folks come on our show and they give you career advice and tips, and they tell you about their great companies. They tell you about open positions they have. You learn something. And when you learn something, this is what I say to do, is make sure you take notes and do something differently as a result of that learning moment that you had. So if you hear something today that you decide, well, you know what, I'm moved to do something different. Let's say you hear about a company that's hiring. If you don't take the note and write something down, how are you going to get in touch with this person? Okay, because I might be alerting you to something that is going to happen on this show today. Okay, so if you're like me and you're old school, get a pencil and a pen and a piece of paper and jot down some notes. If you're new school, like Zane, our intern, get your thumbs ready, right? And get your device du jour out and take some notes and write down what you're going to do differently, and you'll be the better for it, folks. All right, now today I'm going to kick off my monologue. I'm going to kick off the show with my monologue, as I do every week. And this week I'm going to talk about something called ghosting. Now, for you folks that are on like these dating apps, you know what ghosting is. You go, you meet somebody and you don't like that person for whatever reason. It's their personality, their appearance, whatever it is. You don't like them, but you don't want to give them closure. You don't even want to talk to that person again. So what do? You cease all communications, right? That's what happens nowadays. But you know, there's also professional ghosting. And that's no bueno. That's not good. And all you recruiters and staffing professionals and hiring managers, HR people, you seem to know a lot about what ghosting is. This is when a candidate comes and interviews for a job and you like them. Everything's going well and you call them back and crickets, chirp, 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 nothing. You don't hear from them again. No, they don't return emails, no text. They just go ghost on you. That's ghosting. There's never a reason for that. Why burn a bridge? You know, if you're going to leave a job, unless something bad is happening to you, you give 2 weeks' notice. Jacksonville's a big city, but a small town. You never want to burn a doggone bridge. And especially if you're looking for a job. If you're looking for a job, why on earth would you not call your recruiter back or the HR manager or have a little thing of what we call professional courtesy? And I think to myself, why do people ghost? Why is this becoming more popular right now? And I have to think it's directly tied to technology, right? And you know, for instance, if I walk down the airport nowadays, you know, 25, 30 years ago, if I walked in the airport, I'm greeting people. You walk by, hey, how are you doing? How are you? You sit down next to somebody, you're in a conversation. Now, everybody is so hypnotized and mesmerized by their screen, okay? It gives you license to ignore the people all around you. Okay, because you're looking at your doggone screen. And do you know, I could be in the middle of a conversation, talking to somebody, everything's great, and then all of a sudden, beep, or a little bing, that conversation that you're having is now, is thwarted, is ended abruptly, because the person that you're in a conversation with ghosts you right to your face and just says, oh, this conversation's over. I'm going right to my screen because I have a text, and this text has priority over my conversation with you. See, I think that's the origin. It's the advancement of technology and all these handheld devices. It's what has given us liberty to just ignore people and walk away from people and ultimately ghost people. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you ever get ghosted, right, whether this is in any type of relationship, any, whether it's business or certainly a personal relationship, if you get ghosted, there's one thing you have to do is stay calm. All right. Take a deep breath. Get your ego in check. Stay calm. Do not send a barrage of hate-filled emails and texts to the person that's ghosting you, because that person wins no matter what. You are surrendering your power by yielding to the ghost. So don't do it. All right, all you hard workers, I wanted you to just make sure you know that there is never a scenario where professional ghosting is acceptable. All right, I told you I had a great guest today. My guest today is none other than Elizabeth Ivester. Elizabeth, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Hey, Pete, thank you.
Well, let me tell people who you are. You are the Executive Vice President of Organizational Development at Fiber Mortgage, and that is fantastic. What does that mean? What's a day in the life of Elizabeth look like at Fiber Mortgage?
Well, every day is definitely going to look a little bit different, which is probably my favorite thing about my job. My role encompasses everything from recruiting, interviewing, onboarding, training, and also some strategic planning and development for, you know, opening branches in other areas, as well as, you know, making sure we maintain a really positive, encouraging, and fulfilling culture in all of our offices.
Well, that's exciting. You know, what you just said is indicative of like a growing company, where when you're growing, you wear a lot of different hats. You know, when all these big, you know, established huge companies where you might just be a cog in a big machine, your job responsibilities are real siloed. You do this and only this. You have the you got a lot of fun hats that you're wearing. Well, tell us about Fiber Mortgage, and let's isolate to what makes it different than some of the other mortgage entities that are out there.
So first and foremost, Fiber Mortgage is really tech-focused. We have a lot of different tools and a lot of technology at our fingertips that allows us to make our mortgage process really streamlined and really fast. So our average application to clear to close is about 13 days.
Whoa, from soup to nuts, 13 days from
13
initial
days
conversation to approval?
To clear to close, yeah.
Woo!
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary and very unusual for those of you that have bought a house before. You know, it's 30 to 45 days is what you're normally looking at. And so we've, you know, shrunk that by roughly a third by, you know, using so much technology and really putting our customer first. We only have one point of contact, so your loan isn't going to shuffle around a bunch of different desks, go to a bunch of different people. It's going to stay with your loan officer. And it's better for the loan officer because there's not a bunch of air. You don't have to worry about a bunch of different people. And it's better for the consumer because they always know who to call.
Well, that's great. And it seems like that would strengthen that relationship, the one-on-one. You recognize the voice you're talking to. You kind of, it's so much better than, you know, okay, I'm passing it to this one, who passes it to this one. Then you get a call from somebody else and a number you don't recognize, and you miss it because, you know, you don't want to answer calls that you don't recognize. So that's great. Well, walk us through the technology. It says, you know, how does Fiber Mortgage use that technology to actually improve the process?
So, you know, the biggest place that we see a difference is in our online application. So it's as simple as going to our website, fiber.mortgage, and clicking apply here. It's going to prompt you to go through the entire process online. It takes maybe 15 minutes. And then we have an algorithm that we use. And as soon as you click that submit button, it's going to email you a list of documents that you need to submit to underwriting. So if you get those documents submitted that day, we'll get it submitted to underwriting that day. So it would take a traditional bank, you know, a week is going to take us one day, as long as you get us the documents.
And people don't have to worry about, you know, it being secure, right? Because, I mean, that's some of their real personal information, banking information and other stuff. The site's all secure, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Some people get nervous about that. You know, when you're older like me and you walk into a place, sometimes you're like, oh, well, I want to be there physically and I want to carry my materials. But there's no need for that anymore. Right. All right. So let's get right to it. So how are you able to clear it in 14 days?
So like I said, again, technology and only having one point of contact, that's probably the main thing. We're able to broker the best deal for you, and we only work with lenders that have the same focus we have, which is getting the best rates and putting the customer first. So we're on a first name basis with all of our account executives. So when we notice an issue, we address it immediately. We use that application I just spoke about to get everything moved very quickly through the process. And then we are in contact with the home buyer, the real estate agent, the underwriters, everybody that we need to talk to every day. So things don't slip through the cracks.
I can see your energy and your enthusiasm. This is good. When I see some people, they talk about their companies, not necessarily my guests, but, you know, because, you know, I'm in the staffing business. I run staffing companies. I talk to companies and candidates every day, lots of them. Not everybody's that enthusiastic and excited about their company, you know, and I follow you on social media. What are Fibers? What is that?
So Fibers is our company culture. It's essentially a list of things that we live by. One of them is improve. We always want to focus on doing better. Actually, the sentence that follows that is, just because we've always done something one way doesn't mean it's not incredibly stupid. So we're always looking for ways to streamline our process, to make the consumer experience better, to give better rates, to just make things better for the people that we care about. Another one is keep your promises. The sentence that follows that is, whether it's calling a home buyer, calling a realtor, or going to your kids' baseball games, keep all of your promises. We really pride ourselves on treating our employees as whole people. They're not worker bees. They're not just numbers. They're people that are going to have lives outside of work. And we really believe that if you take care of the whole individual, they're going to want to work harder for you. They're going to want to work harder for their home buyers, and they're going to stay with you a lot longer.
Oh, I love that. You know, you have to think as employers, and I want all your employers out there to listen to this. You know, we spend more hours awake every day in our office or at our work than we typically do at home, right? We come home, it might be 6 o'clock by the time you get home. Some people, if you're old like me, you don't even see 9:30 before you see the inside of your eyelids and you're asleep for the night. So it means I have about 3.5 hours to be husband, to be dad, to be the maintenance caretaker of my home. I have to condense a lot of stuff in 3 hours. But I'm at work for 8 hours. I have to enjoy my work. I want to believe in the corporate culture. I want to be part of it. I want to leave having a good experience. And if, you know, for folks that, you know, if you get off the elevator, let's say you work in an office building, you push number 3, you go up to the 3rd floor, and the elevator doors open, and you say to yourself, oh, man, another day of this. That corporate culture is so wrong. It's not like Fibers, huh? So what do you look for? You're hiring a lot of people. What do you look for in a loan officer, a loan originator?
Well, first and foremost, we want people that are going to align with Fibers, that are going to care about all the things that we care about, putting the customer first, keeping your promises, always looking for that next best way to have a good experience. But believe it or not, we actually don't look for people that have mortgage experience. Now, that's not to say we wouldn't. I know.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's definitely not off the table. If you're a mortgage loan officer, I would love to speak with you. But it's not a deal breaker if you're not. We really believe in finding the right people, putting the time in, putting the training, and giving them the best, and just cultivating the best talent. So if you have sales experience, we love that. We love a good outside sales background. That's probably the most attractive thing on a resume. But really, I'm just looking for the right person. We can train loan processing. Anybody can process a loan. It really comes down to having that firm belief and connection in putting the customer first and just doing business the right way.
So someone that's customer focused, can think and speak on their feet, someone that's driven, ambitious, and they're going to support the tenets of Fibers, that's what you're looking for. They don't have to come to you with 5 years of successful loan origination experience. You can train them.
Exactly.
Wow, that opens a lot of doors for folks. I hope people are listening. And you know what? Let's throw some contact information out now, and then we can support it again in a few minutes. If people, let's say I want to be a loan originator, I want to work at Fiber Mortgage, how do I go about that?
Best way is just email me. It's elizabeth@fibermortgage.com, or I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very active there. I'd love to get a message, love to get an email.
All right, so LinkedIn with Elizabeth. Spell your last name for everybody.
It's Ivester, I-V-E-S-T-E-R.
All right, good, good. So what type of growth can you expect right now for Fiber Mortgage?
So really the sky's the limit in terms of growth. We have a branch in St. John's right now in the Fruit Cove area, and we're looking to really fully grow that as much as we can until there's no office space left in that building. And then after that, we want to open at least 2 more branches in Jacksonville. And once we've got that down, we want to go to every state. So, you know, there's really no limits there.
Right. Are you only hiring loan originators, or are there other folks that you're looking to hire as well?
So right now we only have loan officer, loan originator positions available, but in the future that could definitely change.
Okay, great. Let's get your contact information out one more time, because I want to make sure, you know, here's a company that's exciting, that's growing, that's emerging, and you hear Elizabeth talk, you hear her passion and excitement, and she has open positions right here for loan officers with the company that they will train. So, guys, if you're considering this, here's some contact information I want you to write down and reach out to Elizabeth. Go ahead.
So my email is Elizabeth, it's E-L-I-Z-A-B-E-T-H @fibermortgage.com. That'll be the best way to get in contact with me.
Okay, fantastic. Now I'm going to ask you this question, okay? Knowing all that you know now, that you've learned in your life, professionally and otherwise, what advice would you go back and give 19-year-old Elizabeth, career advice that you'd give yourself that could help you in any way?
I would definitely tell myself to take it slow and get experience. College, right off the bat, didn't give me everything I wanted. I didn't have as much direction as I needed to really understand my full potential. And so taking the time to gain experience would be the most valuable thing I could tell myself at that age.
That's outstanding. Thank you so much for coming and joining us on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, great. Now is a great time for us to get a message from our show sponsor. Come back.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
And that right there, folks, is our show sponsor, Angie from Angie Staffing. But Angie Staffing was recently acquired. Angie Staffing is now Ascendo Resources. The good news, folks, is you still get Angie Langlois, who happens to be my wife and business partner, as the managing partner of Ascendo Resources here in Jacksonville. And I highly recommend that you reach out to Angie, because she is bringing back the hustle. Woo-hoo! All right, guys, my next guest today, you know, what do you mean next guest? Yeah, that's right. I have two guests today, and I'm excited about it. Now, my guest is a retired school teacher right here, special education teacher, language arts teacher, specializing in writing and organizational skills, and actively involved in co-taught classes in southeastern Connecticut. She's an advocate for integrated learning and full inclusion for over 30 years, presently teaching on an as-needed basis and privately tutoring students of all ages and from diverse schools, including schools in the UK, Ireland, and New York City. And my guest is Diane Anderson. Diane, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Well, I'm welcome to be here. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. And we're going to talk today about self-directed learning in educational classrooms. Could you explain that? Like, most listeners won't know what self-directed learning is. What is it?
Self-directed learning is just an educational philosophy, like many others. However, in this case, it empowers students to be guided by their own interest, their own abilities, and exactly what they want to achieve. How do they do that? They do that by using the teacher as a coach. The teacher is no longer stand and deliver drill sergeant. he or she is there to assist the student in guiding their experience and their learning disabilities or differences into a path that will achieve success in whatever endeavor they pursue. I can give an example quickly.
I'd love to hear it.
You're teaching the Holocaust unit to eighth grade students. And obviously you have to give them some background knowledge. So there's vocabulary. There's who was Hitler. There's what's a yellow star, on and on and on. That's the vocabulary they need to start with. Then you ask the student some type of a real directed question. Why are we studying the Holocaust, one of the worst periods in our history? And you ask the students, come up with your own question and then answer it. How do you answer it? How do you come up with it? You must research. Again, there's the teacher as the guide. You must write, or you must PowerPoint. You pick a way you want to do something. You may not want to do it alone because you don't work well as alone. You need to work in a group or with a partner. That's okay. In other words, as long as there's a plan and you want to achieve it, then use the teacher as your guidance counselor.
Very interesting. You know, my undergraduate degree is in education. And, you know, previous educational philosophies and curriculum development centered around a kind of a one-size-fits-all approach. From what it's not customized. It's kind of a little bit of a rubber stamp. You know, we're all getting the same, when we're all so very different. Is that what this is
based on?
Well,
that's the whole purpose of my educational experience for 30 years, is no one is an island. We all learn together, and we all learn in diverse ways. In other words, full inclusion in a classroom is just that.
Well, what's the intended outcome? What's the outcome that we're looking to get out of this approach?
That students, no matter what age they are, become empowered with their own vision of where their education is going to go. In other words, we are training them to become members of the workforce and to have confidence in what they know, what they see, and what they perceive. Here's what happens in a regular educational experience. It's drill and kill. Memorize, 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 and therefore take a test on Friday and regurgitate. Do you think that same student is going to remember next Friday?
No.
I doubt it, too.
No, they have an information dump right there on the paper.
Exactly.
And it's gone for good. Little snippets might be recalled down the road, but very, very, very few. Who benefits? Like, who actually benefits from this approach?
Well, that's it. Every person who is involved in any type of educational experience. The students definitely benefit because they now know their strengths, their weaknesses. They know how they learn. They know how they don't learn. And that's okay. And they are proud of the fact that they are an individual learner. Who else benefits? Teachers. Too often, and the way we're doing it right now, is we look at teaching as a science. It's not. It is a science. We go to school for it, obviously. We have to do lesson plans. But it's also an art. It's when to step back. It's when to monitor and adjust for students' needs. It's not going to happen to 30 kids on 12-10.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen on an as-need basis over a long period of time. And you are the coach. You are the person that student or all students go to because they can trust you. They know that you admire them and that you'll listen.
Outstanding. Diane, I want to continue this discussion. Please stay with us on the bottom half of the show. Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKB. Welcome back, all you hard workers. If you missed the first part of this show, shame on you. Set your alarms a little bit earlier. What is the matter with you? You should know by now, every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, that you're going to listen to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, because we give you career advice and tips and tell you about great companies that are right here in Jacksonville. In the first part of the show, we had Elizabeth Ivester on, and she's executive vice president of Fiber Mortgage, and they're hiring loan officers right now. God bless America. Listen to this show. If you missed it, if you missed the beginning, you can always go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. At the end of Monday or perhaps Tuesday, we load up the podcast and you'll be able to listen to the show in its entirety, and it's one that you do not want to miss. We also have Diane Anderson as a guest on the show today. She's a retired special education teacher and language arts teacher, and she's talking to us today about self-directed learning, and I'm telling you, I'm learning something right now. You know, hey, educators of the world, one size doesn't fit all. Customized programs yield superior results. I love learning about this. Zane, I know you wanted to ask Diane a question. What do you got?
Well, you were talking about kids learning things for a week, learning it for the test on Friday, dumping it on the test, and completely forgetting it. I can say, being a high school student 4 years ago, I definitely had that. I would learn things in like the sciences, the histories, government, math. I'd learn it for the test. I'd completely forget it in a week. The things that really stuck with me involved critical thinking, things such as my literary classes where we would read novels and we would be asked like in-depth questions that really made you think about it, really made you dive deep into the material and actually really made me remember it. Miss Roland, my teacher in high school, thank you so much for asking those critical thinking questions. What you're talking about, for me, makes sense.
It does. It really does. And it actually is a team approach. I have worked in a school, and we can't do it anymore, unfortunately, because of standardized testing. I don't want to start on that. But anyway, I worked in a school one time, hard work, as a team. I mean, the math teacher, the social studies, the English teacher, the special ed teacher, the science teacher. We designed units, six-week units, where we integrated all the educational experience around that. The kids at the end of the unit had to do a culminating activity, and they were out of sight. One unit was on the rivers, and the kid actually took his parents up to the mouth in Vermont of the Connecticut River and worked his way all the way down. It was an amazing thing. I'm sure that no one, certainly I never forgot it, will forget that experience. But that's the thing. Too little integration is done in our schools today. It's all compartmentalized. You know you have to do standardized testing. That's part of the state. That's part of the federal government. No child left behind. But why not explain to kids the test is not on you. It's on us, the educators, because we need to see if our curriculum is working or not. Do the best you can, but it's on our shoulders.
How relevant is this teaching style for like work-life experiences?
Well, I don't think you can deal, let's face it, in real life, how many tests do you take every week? You don't. But how well do you work with other people on a daily basis or an hourly basis? How well are we working together today? I mean, real life learning, real life work, real life experiences is based on communication. You said it earlier in your program. It is important to communicate your ideas to everybody else, but it's also important for you to respect and admire the diversity in all of us and our experiences.
You know, I found over the years that especially the bulk of my education that I've done, that I've delivered. I taught Dale Carnegie training programs. I've been a training instructor for many years. I train the trainers. I always found that, you know, I found out my students' pushes and pulls and, you know, who's good at what. And then I found if I give them little nuggets and then, you know, because if I try to teach a whole class for an hour, it just didn't seem to work. I teach a segment and then have them do something and then come back, you know, here I'm going to another learning moment, then an actual application moment. Then there seemed to be, and then over time, habits after about 3 weeks of doing, here's a little bit, application, knowledge, application, and then over a period of time, learning occurred and habits formed. You know, is that relevant?
Definitely is relevant. And you're just explaining to me one of my experiences as an adjunct professor teaching graduate students how to work with special education students. And it was a weekly basis that we met, same thing as you did. We would meet, we would review the week together, we would tweak it, we would look to adjust perhaps their focus. In a regular classroom, say a language arts 10th grade classroom, you need to deliver, then you need to monitor and adjust, and ultimately you let the students be their own guiders.
Outstanding. Well, Diane, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask all my guests, and this is knowing all that you know now in life, your career, personal, you gathered all this information, you learned so much. What advice would you give 19-year-old Diane?
Oh, to do differently? Nothing.
Oh, I love it.
Just to appreciate the journey that you've been on and to pray that you will be on it for a little bit longer.
Oh, that's wonderful. Diane, thank you so much for being on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy this Sunday morning.
Thank you, too.
All right, and now is a great time to get our leadership lesson from Coach Larry this week. Every week, Coach Larry is one of our weekly contributors, and it's one of my favorite parts of the show. If you're a manager and you really want to become an effective leader, take some notes here. And with no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
Early in my career, I was working for a large financial services company. I was working in the training department, teaching new hires. One day after I got paid, it was time to pay the bills. You know, housing, electricity, car, telephone, no cell phone in those days, student loans. And after doing all that, I took a look at what we had left. And we only had $6 to last us for 2 weeks. No joke. Lucky for us, Burger King was having Dollar Whopper specials, so at least a night out was still in the picture. It was time to ask for a promotion. Eventually, I walked into my boss's office and I pleaded my case. I was the youngest and least experienced one on the team. But it wasn't like I had just started. I had been there at least a year. So he asked me, "How old are you, Larry?" I was 26 at the time. Then he asked me, "How much are you making?" Well, essentially, I was making $13 an hour, back in the day, with good benefits. Then he started to calculate and share with me that, well, when he was my age, he certainly wasn't making that much money, so why should I expect to? Well, first of all, because it wasn't 1970, and second of all, what the heck are you comparing yourself to me for? That just doesn't make sense. What did I do? Well, I finished my master's, and then I got a job at another financial services company making over 30% more. But that was lucky. It worked out for me. But that's not always the case. So how do you ask for a promotion or for a raise? Well, the first thing that is critical is knowing your manager's philosophy about promotions, raises, salaries, and bonuses. I worked for one leader whose goal was to pay people as much as possible. Sounds good, right? We regularly talked about compensation, bonuses, and opportunities within the team and outside the team. Another leader I worked for said, "Well, you have to be here 2 years before we even consider you for a promotion." And there were many leaders who didn't even think about promoting their people. They wanted their people to work for them and stay as long as possible. So tip number one is to know who you work for. Know their track record on promotions and bonuses. If you are at a point in your life where you're putting a lot into your career, having the right boss is a must. Are people around you getting promoted? Are other people receiving rewards and recognition and you're not? Are you having conversations about your career with your boss? If you answer no, then I would strongly consider going somewhere else fast. Sorry, I know that's harsh. Tip number two is to look out beyond your manager. Have some awareness about what is going on at the company and the industry. Is the industry growing? Is the company growing? What are average salaries for your role? What is the typical career path and movement for your role? In 2008, after the financial meltdown, I was happy to have a job. Our stock price went from $100 a share to $13, and that was not the right time to ask for a raise. So timing is important. But tip number three is that you should put it out there. Let your boss know that you are someone who wants to move ahead and that as opportunities come up, you want to be considered. Tell them that you're open to feedback. Remind them of all the things that you can do and your past experiences. You know, managers typically don't like to have these conversations, so we need to approach them and remind them of our skills. By letting them know that you are open to getting promoted or trying something new that will lead to a promotion, you are giving them the opportunity to respond in kind. This is much better than, hey, promote me now. Why am I not getting promoted? That's it. I quit. Again, this way you have made it clear that you want more challenges. Okay, so let's think about this. Let's imagine it's the right time. You've done your homework and the company is doing fine. You know what the logical next role or title would be for you. And over time, you've made it clear that you want a promotion and you've gotten positive feedback. You also know what it takes to work at the next level, and all indications are that you're doing great work. What do you do? First, I think it's important to give your boss a heads up that you want to schedule a conversation about a promotion. This will help them not be caught off guard, and the meeting will be more effective. Second, you may want to choose an alternate venue than the boss's office. That's where they have power. Go for lunch. Go to a break room or a lounge where you may have some privacy. People tend to be more honest and disarmed when they are out of their normal work situations. Third, start with a strong statement about why you feel you are ready. Share the facts. Share your excitement and your commitment to the company. This should be a conversation starter and not a speech. Paint the picture to them about where you want to go and what you have done to deserve it. People who make the decision easy for their boss tend to have the most success. You need to build the case for them to be able to present it to their superiors. Finally, be open to feedback. There may be something you don't know about your performance and getting to the next level. Being defensive and getting angry or shutting down will work against you. So if you don't get promoted this time, ask when you should revisit this conversation and what you need to do to get to the next level and work on your skills. And when it's time, have that conversation again.
Oh, another gem from Coach Larry. Boy, guys, this is the advice you want to hear. If you're looking to get a raise or a promotion, you just listen to what Coach Larry said. This, when is the right time? You need to know that. Timing is very important. Now is a great time to go to a commercial break and listen to this message from our show sponsor.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
All right, that's our show sponsor, Angie from Angie's Staffing. Angie's Staffing is now Ascendo Resources. That's right. But don't fret, because Angie is still the managing partner of Ascendo Resources right here in Jacksonville, Florida. She's the best in staffing I know, because she's been my wife for a gazillion years and been my business partner for 20. And she's awesome. And when she says she's bringing back the hustle, that lady is bringing back the hustle. This next part of the show is dedicated to the workforce of tomorrow. We have Zane Beverly. Zane is an integral part of the show, and Zane is a senior at UNF, and he's here to give the perspective of the folks that are going to be joining the workforce, those folks that are the workforce of tomorrow. So Zane, what you got this week? What you talking about?
This week, we're talking about workplace relationships, and I don't mean the romantic kind.
Oh, boy.
I mean the normal, everyday relationships you have with the people you work with for as long as you work with them.
Well, let's hear it. What do you got?
So, obviously, everyone wants to have good workplace relationships with people, but how do you do that? You can, in the best scenarios, they can be your best friends. You can click on everything. Going to work can be a joy, hanging out with your buddies, but it's not always like that. Sometimes your coworkers are people you want to see the least every single day, but you got to make it work. You got to be respectful. If you put respect out there, hopefully they reciprocate and you can tolerate each other. The worst is getting snarky with your coworkers, adding fuel to the fire, making your workplace life even worse. You need to be respectful to them. Hopefully they'll be respectful back. Also, if things are going good and you're having a good time with your coworkers, you need to be careful not to push it too far. You need to make sure, yeah, you're getting buddy-buddy with your coworkers, but be careful bringing up topics that you may not want to bring up at work, like religion, personal beliefs, politics can be a big one to start some fires in the office. You need to be careful. You need to know that you can have friends at work, but just be careful. I remember when I was working at Zaxby's, I was 15 years old. It was my first job. I was a cashier. I was making 10 bucks an hour, which was pretty good for every job on the island for a kid my age. And there was a kid from my high school, I'm not going to name names, he got hired. We didn't have the best relationship in high school or at work. He was a cook. I didn't see him too often, but every time I did, me and this guy would not get along. And I probably, looking back at it now, could have gone at it in a better way. I thought he was the worst, and that probably means I was putting out feelings that was making the relationship worse. In the end, he sort of drove me up the wall, and it made me quit this good job I had with 10 bucks an hour, and it really put me in this bad mood. And for half a year, I couldn't get myself to find a job just because of this one bad experience I had at work. And I just want to tell everybody out there, don't let that happen to you. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. Try to make good workplace relationships and keep it going.
You know, you're a wise man. You're a wise man beyond your years, because everything you just said, I mean, you fast forward, I'm probably 30 years older than you. You know, you fast forward, this is still the stuff we wrestle with daily. Man. There were inter-office relationships where people don't like each other or don't respect each other. You know, and it sucks the fun out of your work mm-hmm. day when this happens. And it is a mutual respect. It's an acceptance. As we heard Kelly Manal, when she comes on and talks about emotional intelligence, self-awareness, self-acceptance, social awareness, you know, all that. Like in when she's very nicely tells me, you know, don't beat yourself up. You know, you learned, you know, you might, maybe you projected a little bit.
Yeah,
and maybe that was seen. Josh, you know, let's bring Josh into this. You know, I'm sure in your career, you probably always, you know, didn't have a great relationship with everybody you work with. What do you think about what we just heard Zane saying?
Yeah, I've always tried to make it a point to be in a good mood at work.
Yeah.
Because if you want people to perform at their best, you don't want any kind of exterior emotion to show. So I try to be the one that makes people smile and make people laugh, or any try to just mediate any conflict in the office.
Yeah.
But even then, there have been times in my history where I get a little annoyed with somebody, or if somebody has gone out of their way to let me know they're upset with something I've done when maybe it wasn't called for.
Right.
And you can't, I don't want to say lower yourself to their level, but if you're trying to maintain some kind of professionalism, you want everyone to see you at your best, and you can't go mm-hmm. down and just continue the conflict going. So I always try to just end things immediately. Don't let anything fester. If anything might need to be said, say it before it could sit inside of you and brew for too long, and then it might explode out.
Infinite.
So I try to just get everything on the table immediate and just resolve things right away.
You know, we've been doing this for, I guess, about 2 years now, almost.
You and I, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen you in a bad mood. You got like perma smile on your face.
You've never seen me outside of work. Outside of work, I'm always just stirring.
His wife's going, oh, God, if they only knew.
The real Josh.
How can I get the work, Josh?
Right. So, Zane, did this relationship ever get better? I mean, or you just, you grow up.
If I saw him now, I doubt we would be at each other's throats like we were at Zaxby's, but I haven't seen him in years. I'd hope we'd be okay.
I'll tell you this, you know, I've gone to a few high school reunions, not many, but now everybody, forget clicks. Everybody right now, there are a couple people that have had some health crises. They've had different things. We all band together and pitch in for each other. My mortal enemy is now a good friend. You know, we talk frequently. There was somebody that I felt I owed an apology to that was literally over 25 years. I social media is wonderful. Hey, how you doing? You mind if I give you a call? Call them up and say I'm very sorry. It's interesting. You know what? This is a great part of the show right now. I think this is a perfect time to get our update from Boston Danny. Ooh. Boston Danny gives us a Boston update. He brags about his sports teams. He tells us about the weather up north. But one important thing he does is he gives shout outs to people. So if you have a birthday, an anniversary, if you have a special event or somebody that you know has one, you just want to recognize somebody, then write to me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Send it to me and I'll make sure Boston Danny gives you a Boston shout out like only Boston Danny can. With no further ado, let's get this week's update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Northern update. Well, we're still in the winter pattern here, but it's, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're still at our freeze and our thaw, just when we think it's getting a little bit better. Next thing you know, we're back down to 10 degrees with a wind chill that just drops it below zero and just brings back the reality of winter for us. But, that's where we're at. So, the news up here is our neighbors up to the north, New Hampshire's, the first primary in the nation's pretty cool. They get it together. They do it all right. And, the first primary tries to shake everything out and, they get it done right and everyone pays attention and then they move on. So it's glad that that's done and over with and all the hijinks that they got going on up there. Tom Brady and the Patriots, they're keeping everybody guessing and, keeping it interesting for the sports pundits up here. But like I say, folks, it's the game and we'll see what happens. We'll still be in the running for it. The good thing is our Bruins and our Celtics are rolling right along. They're looking good. Bruins got a good shot at, getting to the cup again this year. Maybe we can parade that down Boylston Street, keep the trend going. And, it's all just interesting for us. And, let's go. The Red Sox, they get a lot of work to do. You've heard about them in the news and their troubles. But you know what? They're down there in Florida now working it out. They're working through all of it. It's a new season, new stats. Some of these other new guys, they got to step up. I'm for one, not happy to see Mookie go, but, Mookie Betts, one of the best players. Everyone in Boston just wishes him luck for what he's doing up there. So, we're in the winter. We're stuck here. We're waiting for the spring, and, we can just give it along. But get your birthday shout-outs down to Peter. We'll rip them out on the air. I want to wish a wicked happy birthday to Robin Riddle. Another happy birthday with Skip Benoit, Brett Retton, Scott Fitzgerald, way to go, Fitzy, Amber McKinn, Sean Grisbin. And as always, a special shout out to our first responders, peacekeepers, and our military servicemen and women. Brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, take it easy. Keep an eye on my Red Sox for me, and I'll talk to you next week.
Oh, boy, another gem from Boston Danny. I love Boston Danny. I hope you're doing great, man. It's all going to get warm one day, but it's not today. All right, guys, if you missed the show, shame on you. You should listen get up early every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. My first guest was Elizabeth Ivester. She was fantastic from Fiber Mortgage. My second guest was Diane Anderson. And just to hear her talk about self-directed learning and the passion that she brings, and it was just great, and I'm so proud and privileged to have such great people, not only as my guests, but as my weekly contributors. And Zane, why don't you take us to the end of the show?
You just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.